This morning we're making the transition into a new season of the church. We've had your 12 days of Christmas. You didn't take down your tree early, did you? 12 days of Christmas. But we move into Epiphany. And Epiphany is about moving from the birth of Jesus and the coming of the light into walking with and journeying with Jesus and the ministry of Jesus that emerges. This is one of the first stories that's in the Gospels about that adult life of Jesus. This morning we read from Matthew's community. Chapter 3 of Matthew. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw God's Spirit descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from the heavens said, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. So inspired by the presence of water in this morning's scripture story, I'd like to share with you one of my favorite stories of water. So in southwestern South Dakota, there is a First Nation reservation called Pine Ridge, the home of the Oglala Band of the Lakota Nation, the Lakota Oyate. On my first visit there a number of years ago, I was privileged to meet Dwayne, a middle-aged Lakota man. As part of our day's work with Remember, a nonprofit group on the reservation, started by some UCC folks in Michigan, we were sent out to help Dwayne garden. But Dwayne was no ordinary gardener. He had three large gardens that covered more than an acre. And the garden's produce of beans, squash, corn, and melons was meant for the elders in the nearby village of Porcupine. Now, knowing the scarcity and preciousness of water on the reservation, Dwayne had written a successful grant proposal to purchase drip irrigation equipment. We were there to help lay it out and to plant. Dwayne showed me how it worked and how to repair it. I even planted corn for the first time. Not bad for a city kid who grew up across from a factory. Fortunately, corn is very forgiving. You put it in the ground and you cover it and you move on. Now, Dwayne was utilizing the gift of water wisely for the greater good and for the life of the Lakota people. Our sacred story of water comes from, as I said, Matthew's early Christian community. And for Matthew, this story, the story of Jesus' baptism, certainly helps accomplish his purpose of showing Jesus as a true Jewish messianic leader. And so Jesus, like so many Jewish leaders and Jewish people before, entered the waters of the Jordan River and was deeply affirmed by God's presence there in an experience of the Holy Spirit. Now, the esteemed Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann says the scene is a kind of an endorsement, reminiscent of those of the Davidic kings, and that the Matthew story affirms God's blessing for the coming rule of Jesus. It is that coming rule of Jesus, or the realm of God that Jesus proclaimed, that is the deeper purpose of baptism. Baptism is a kind of initiation and immersion into that divine realm, a transformation into a new way of life, a new way where one experiences one's true divine affirmation and blessing, and like Jesus, then leads a life guided and sustained by Spirit, a life that serves life, a life of love and integrity and service and generosity and community. Indeed, we hear this in Luke's version of the story, that there's a new life. John the Baptist's call was to prepare for a new age, to become part of a movement to prepare the way for this new realm. And when people asked John, "What then shall we do?" John said to them, "Whoever has coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." John also told tax collectors to collect no more than was proper, and soldiers to give up their racket of extortion and simply do their jobs. A baptism in the water of the Jordan certainly celebrated and sealed this new way of living for the individual, but it clearly had a goal of changing society, redeeming it from its ills of selfishness, poverty, violence, and corruption. John's invitation called people to prepare the way of God by changing one's life, preparing the way within, seeing and acting differently, living in the world and with others differently. Baptism meant that there would be relational and social change leading toward the fullness of God's realm, and that we each would need to choose to act to immerse ourselves in this new reality. So this morning, a simple question for all of us: do you remember your baptism? I don't. In late 1963, I was but a wee one in the Methodist church that my family attended, and the Methodists, like this church, likes to practice infant baptism, so my memory is a little, to say the least, fuzzy. And while I do appreciate and truly love the welcome and the blessing that comes with celebrating a new life in our community through infant baptism, baptizing babies does miss a profound adult experience of consciously choosing faith. Choosing faith not just in Jesus, not just in the God of Jesus, but in living into the way of Jesus and toward the vision of the beloved community. Baptism is meant not only to be a profound reorientation of the inner world, but to be a profoundly countercultural choice, coming into a new way of living. What I'm saying simply is baptism is a big deal. A change of direction moment for youth and adults. In fact, it's such a big deal that the Apostle Paul called the ritual of baptism a form of death. Death of the old, going down deep, and rebirth into new life in Christ. Indeed, there could be no better symbol than that of water for baptism, the waters of birth. And despite the common church practice of just sprinkling water on babies, churches I've served probably would not have liked if I took the baby and put them underwater. We sprinkle it on babies and on adults. Despite that common practice, I have to say there could be no better symbolic act than full immersion into the water to reemerge anew. That's what's being asked of us. It's such a big deal that it was not uncommon in the early church for those wishing to follow Jesus to study for months and then to be stripped of their clothing totally before experiencing a full immersion baptism, often on Easter, to initiate their new and full life in Christ, rising from the water to be clothed anew, often in white. So this morning, I want to be clear, I'm not here to propose a change in our practices of baptism. But I am here to call us again to immersing ourselves in the way of Jesus, to be in the practice of making beloved community. And so I could say it this way: I'm calling us to remember our baptism, to remember that life we are initiated into and who goes with us on that journey and how important that journey is. Now, if you've not been baptized, I invite you to consider a conscious choice to follow the way of Jesus and to consecrate that choice in the ritual of baptism. And calling us to remember our baptism. Remember that the way of Jesus is a profound way of love where there is a deep intention, a free will choice to love in a way that brings healing and justice, that moves us beyond cycles of despair and bitterness, beyond cycles of violence and revenge. Baptism is acknowledging the choice to love in a way that goes beyond a judgment as to whether others deserve love, goes beyond simple tit for tat, an eye for an eye, goes beyond the focus on what the other did or did not do. It goes beyond a reactive reality about the other to a creative reality that comes from the self. A self that simply asks, how can I manifest love here and now? Love for myself and other, love for community and the whole earth. What form of love would serve the life in me and the other now and moving forward? Matthew's Sermon on the Mount summarizes the vision of what baptism initiates us into, the realm of God, life in the beloved community, where cycles that drain life are replaced by intentions and actions that give life. I hope you remember the bullet points. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Turn the other cheek. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the humble. Store up treasures of the Spirit. Seek first the realm of God and do not worry. Treat others as you would like to be treated. Remembering our baptism is remembering that we are called to choose this kind of love. The fact that you and I often fall short is not as important as remembering our baptism and choosing again the way of Jesus. So remember your baptism. And remember that you are not alone in that imperfect journey after baptism. You're not alone in trying to live into this kind of love and service to life. I think of Dwayne. I still think of Dwayne as someone who inspires me on that journey after baptism. Now, some years later, after that visit to Pine Ridge, I asked about Dwayne and found out that he had died. It was a sad reminder that, like many on the Pine Ridge Reservation, living to your late 50s is actually better than average. Measured by certain statistics, Pine Ridge is the second poorest place in the Western Hemisphere. In a land area the size of Connecticut, there's one grocery store, one hospital. Alcoholism and diabetes are far above national averages. Now, Dwayne knew that most of the food that the Lakota people can get is of poor nutritional value. And so he tried to do something about it. And so when I remember my baptism, as fuzzy as it is, or really I should say, remember that I am part of a community of the baptized, I remember what I am to live for. Dwayne is one of those in the communion of saints who goes with me. Dwayne goes with me and helps me remember my baptism. Brings it back to life, not simply because he was a kind and delightful man, but because even amidst the wilderness of poverty and discrimination, even amidst the system of injustice and oppression that creates conditions for despair and death where he lived, still, Dwayne chose to love, to embrace a vision of life, to have a faith in action, to commit to the life of the people. He chose care for the elders and the children. Now, maybe Dwayne found his transforming sacred waters in the sweat of the prayer lodge. But I believe Dwayne was a baptized human. Whether he ever did a Christian ritual of baptism or not, because he immersed himself in a higher sacred purpose, beyond himself, a purpose to serve compassion and justice, a life-giving purpose in the realm of the Great Spirit, where love is often different from what the culture says. So I ask all of us this morning, who can we remember? Who can help you remember your baptism and what baptism is for? Who in your communion of saints can whisper in your ear when life for you or your family or for this church is difficult? Who can whisper in your ear, remember your baptism? A little bit later in worship, during the passing of the peace perhaps, or during the last hymn, or even after worship has ended, you are welcome to come forward to the baptismal bowl right here and to dip your fingers in, touch your forehead, or maybe the back of your hand, or maybe your heart, to help you remember your baptism. Whether we are at life's end, or closer to its beginning, or somewhere in the middle, it is wise and worthy to pray to God, may we know your presence. May your longings be ours. And this, my friends, is what Jesus sought and experienced in his baptism in the Jordan. And this is what we seek when we say, remember your baptism. Amen.